Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, we're going to be discussing Zaire Williams with CJ Holmes of the New York Daily News and Connor Long of Nets Daily and the Brooklyn Boys podcast. Zaire, to me, is arguably the biggest unknown of LA's new additions. Walker Kessler, Quentin Grimes, Colin Sexton, Sandro Mamukelashvili, Matisse Thybulle. These guys are established. These guys have been starters or key bench guys. We have a sense of who they are on both sides of the ball, but it still feels like there's this mystery box element with Zaire. There's some untapped potential. So to break it down, wanted to get a couple of different perspectives on him. I spoke with CJ first and then Connor. Without further ado, let's get into it. CJ, man, it's good to see you. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Long time no talk. Just spent a couple weeks in Virginia, you know, before we get this 82 going again.
Yeah, I think last time I saw you was in New York when I was out there for the Knicks and Nets game. So good to see you and good to catch up talking some Zaire Williams. Let's get into it. Many Laker fans, I think, have a sense of his game, but what is your scouting report on Zaire on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I don't like to put guys like too much into a box, but you know, he's pretty much your 3-and-D kind of prototype wing. That's where his value was. That's where Jordy Fernandez, that's why he put him out there on the floor. But really it was two seasons ago when I think we kind of saw the best of Zaire defensively. This past year, Jordy Fernandez said, you know, at times throughout the season that he didn't necessarily see that same fire and Zaire, the same that he saw a couple years ago when Jordy first took over. But offensively, Z did make some strides, you know, down the stretch of the season. I think there was a little stretch there towards the end of the year when he set a new personal best for games of at least 15 points or something along those lines. So, you know, the offensive upside is there. But the big thing with Z is just it's his consistency. And that's the reason why, you know, Memphis gave up on him. You know, that's part of the reason why I don't think the Nets are willing to bring him back, especially considering, you know, the logjam of young wings that they have on the roster. But, you know, a lot of people forget, you know, he's a former lottery pick. He's only 24 years old still. And he's an NBA veteran at this point. So I think at this point in his career, it's just about, you know, finding that right fit. But more so than the fit, it's the consistency of both ends. It's in there. We've seen it in stretches. We've seen flashes of it. But that's what, you know, the Lakers will be looking to get out of him. He's back home in California. Bronny James is still on the roster. Their teammates at Sierra Canyon. So, you know, in terms of a locker room guy, you know, that should be a good fit. And Z's just a good dude, man. He's always radiating positivity. He never really talks down anyone. You know, just keeps it real. He's very self-aware of things that he has to work on. And above all, just a great guy to be around, great teammate. And, you know, he's still oozing with potential that I think hasn't necessarily been tapped into completely yet.
What do you think of his fit with the Lakers?
I like it, you know, more so when we talk about like situation, right? Now, Z's a California guy. He's going back home. And sometimes guys need that fresh start, right? And they get a fresh start in a familiar environment. I think that can be, you know, really good for a guy like Z. I think he still has a lot to give at the NBA level. From a defensive standpoint, heading the free agency, I think that's the area where the Lakers like really needed help with. And again, like I said, Z's a guy that he has no problem picking up 94 feet. He has no problem taking on the tough assignments. And when you can get some, you know, efficient 3-point shooting out of him, right, that makes it even better when he's out there. But the issue is just like getting the best of those two worlds consistently. And that's what, you know, JJ Redick and the Lakers are going to have to find out.
You mentioned his defense. I view him as someone who can defend 1-3 with the potential to guard fours, depending on how his defense continues to progress. And that's a role that the Lakers may need from him. But I've noticed he's really grown as a defensive playmaker, and he's excellent at these backcourt deflections where guys will be unsuspecting his anticipation and his length, and they'll just be dribbling. He'll go poke the ball loose, or they'll be throwing sort of a lazy pass and he'll pick it and generate some easy buckets that way. In terms of his overall defense, how would you assess it? What are some of his strengths, and what do you think is the optimal way to use him on that end?
You know, Jordy liked to put him on the ball. Z's going to turn you. Like I said, he has no issues picking up 94 feet. And, you know, although you don't see a lot of his athleticism on the offensive end, you know, very rarely is he going to, you know, drive to the cup with authority or things like that, even though he's more than capable. But a lot of times offensively, he's kind of hanging out on the perimeter, you know, shooting the open three. That's kind of like the limit of his offensive game right now. But defensively is really where you see his athleticism come up. He's stalking those passing lanes. Like you said, he's getting those deflections. And then he has the athleticism to put on a show in the open court, you know, when he gets those breakouts. I think that, you know, when you got a, you know, team of guys like, you know, Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic, who aren't necessarily the best on-ball defenders out there, I think that's why you bring in a Zaire Williams, somebody who can put pressure on those lead ball handlers, you know, create turnovers and get those guys out and running in transition where a lot of them do their most damage.
You mentioned he has shifted toward being more of a shooter and a spot up catch and shoot guy. I think less is more with him. When I see him trying to take guys off the dribble, do too much, when he's getting in the lane, he's kind of just flinging up these runners and floaters wildly. How do you see him playing off of Luka and Austin, who generate a ton of open looks out of the pick and roll for weak side shooters, and just his ability to fit into LA's offense?
First and foremost, I think Zaire is really underrated as a cutter, but, you know, the issue in Brooklyn was, you know, at least over the last two seasons, is like they really didn't have a lot of on-ball creation out there, and Z would be put in lineups where he would have to try to make something out of nothing, which led to a lot of these, you know, inefficient looks at the rim or shots that he's just not very comfortable in taking. But, you know, you go to a Lakers team now with established ball handlers and playmakers, and I think that can bring out the best in Z, right? Like you said, when it comes to Zaire Williams, like less is more, efficiency is king. And he is a guy who can, you know, cut to the rim and throw down a dunk or, you know, hang out in the dunker spot. And then you guys got guys like Luka and Reeves who can collapse defenses. You know, there he'll be in the corner. And if he's knocking down that 3-point shot efficiently, then, you know, it's hard to keep him off the floor.
Within the context of the Lakers starting lineup right now, they have four locked in starters in how I view it. Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Walker Kessler, and Quentin Grimes. They need that fifth spot, which is supposed to be a forward. Ideally, it's a PJ Washington or Jonathan Kuminga, but if they don't land that type of player, I think there's going to be an open competition between Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia, Sandro Mamukelashvili, maybe Matisse Thybulle or Jared Vanderbilt get involved there as well. But none of those options to me are ideal. But the more I've thought about it, Zaire does check some of the boxes you want from that position as just being that cutter and shooter, bringing a certain amount of athleticism, motor, etc. So in viewing him as a potential placeholder starter, because again, he is someone who signed a minimum contract, do you feel like he could fit in as like an 18 to 22 minute a night guy who can defend? I think him and Quentin Grimes will tag team the best two perimeter guys. And if it's a smaller guy, quicker guy, probably Grimes. If it's a bigger guy, probably Zaire. But what do you think of him in that role? And do you think he has the scalability defensively to even guard some fours? Because I view that as the weak spot right now. Even putting him in there, it's like, okay, well, if you're playing Aaron Gordon or Paolo Banchero or LeBron James, like who's guarding that player? Is it Zaire? Is it Luka? Do you want to put Luka in that position defensively? So in terms of his fit around those four guys being one of the stoppers in that unit, how do you feel about that?
I mean, yeah, to your point, I don't necessarily think it's ideal, right? I do think Zaire at his best is that, you know, seventh, eighth man off the bench, playing him in short bursts when you kind of need a pickup or a spark. I think that's when Z's at his best. Until Z can, you know, show more consistency at both ends of the court, I can't really see him as a consistent starter in this league, although he did start a handful of games over his time in Brooklyn just because of how the roster shook out and injuries and things of that nature. And defensively, I do think he's more so suited to guarding the perimeter simply because of his frame, right? Z's been in the league for years now, and like, he hasn't really done much in that department in terms of like bulking up and adding to his mass in order to take on some of those more physical front court assignments. The Lakers are a team in flux. I do think that they have enough talented players around him to kind of mask some of his deficiencies. I do not see it as like a long-term answer starting in Los Angeles, but you know, I could certainly see it as a stopgap until you can find a more better option. I do think a guy like John Kuminga will give you a little bit more. Like I said, if you got to ride with Z for a little bit, I think the Lakers would be fine simply because of the talent that they have around him.
You covered Kuminga. What do you think of his potential fit with the Lakers? Just as a curveball question.
I mean, it just depends on which JK you're going to get.
Like really? him in that role, like him being, again, I think Grimes is like the backcourt stopper. The Lakers need a front court wing stopper. And then they need JK to play off of the ball as a shooter, as a cutter, get out in transition, rebound, defend. I've compared it to like they need him to make the transformation that Aaron Gordon and Andrew Wiggins made in their careers to just being like, all right, we were drafted as lottery guys. We maybe had visions of ourselves as this number one, number two guy, as an all-star. But really, we're these uber athletic guys who can be like the ultimate Swiss Army knife role player on special teams. And we saw Aaron Gordon playing that role with Denver. They won a championship in 2023. Andrew Wiggins in that role with Golden State. They won the title in 2022. I feel like that's Kuminga's destiny. I just don't know if he views himself in that light.
Yeah, it just comes down to the buy-in, right? You know, when I covered him out in Golden State, you know, he was young. I think I was there for his rookie and sophomore campaigns, and he would kind of say it to the media sometime that, you know, I think I deserve more. Now he's kind of in a position where he's out here trying to prove that, and I just don't think that, you know, his game backs that up right now. You know, he went to Atlanta. Had a hot couple first games, and then he kind of just like disappeared, right? I don't know. It's going to come down the, you know, JK thinks he's a star in his own mind, you know, whether it's true or not. And, you know, unless he has the, you know, puts in the work to back that up, I don't know. I'm trying to put this delicately, you know what I'm saying? Overall, it's just going to come down to his buy-in. If he buys into that role, he can certainly thrive in it. You know, he's not going to be high on that, you know, pecking order out there in Los Angeles. And you kind of wonder, you know, how that will affect him and, you know, the inner locker room dynamics, things of that nature. So
bringing it back to Zaire, what do you think is an underrated or under-discussed part of his game?
I think it's less about his game and just more of the kind of guy that he is in the locker room. Like I said, the Nets moved on from Zaire, but I don't think it really had anything to do with, you know, who he was as a person. He's great to deal with. He's beloved by his teammates, comes from a great family, and he's just always just radiates positivity. And, you know, I might be a little sappy to say this, but I think that really matters in terms of, you know, building a winning roster. We just saw what the power of friendship
does
can do, you know, with the Knicks winning the championship this year. So, you know, what Zaire lacks on the court, he certainly makes up for in the locker room. And I think that's invaluable. And I don't think that's talked about enough.
You mentioned him being this happy, positive guy, but I've gotten some enforcer energy with him. Like he mixed it up with Luka a bit when they were out in LA in that matchup. And I feel like he's fiery. Like you mentioned Jordy Fernandez saying he didn't necessarily see that same fire from him defensively, but is that an accurate thing of like, he seems like a guy that if someone does a hard foul on his teammate, he'll get into the mix and is not afraid to like get a technical or you know, a hold me back type moment.
No, I definitely think that's true. Zaire definitely has that dog in him. He'll ride for his guys out there. But you know, the issue is, you know, I don't know if it was just a product of, you know, playing for a bad Nets team that was, you know, piling up L's and, you know, any normal person that can weigh on you and kind of affect how hard you go. It's a long season and that can obviously affect the, you know, how hard you can go every night, but it's definitely in there. And hopefully, you know, with this fresh start, you know, back home in California, you know, playing for a premier team like the Lakers, that's always in the public spotlight. You know, hopefully you can see that fire a little bit more than, you know, what we saw in Brooklyn these past couple of years.
CJ, I appreciate you and your time outside of your X account and plug in your work at the New York Daily News. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, that's about it, man. Y'all can find my work at Homescribe on X. And yeah,
I'll have it linked in the show notes. Appreciate you, man. It was good to talk to you. Good to see you. And I'm sure I'll see you during the season coming up.
Good to see you too, man. Appreciate your time.
I'm thrilled to be joined by Connor Long of Nets Daily and the Brooklyn Boys podcast. Congrats, man, on all your success.
Well, Jovan, that means a lot. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to going back and forth with you, talking about a former Net now in Zaire Williams. But nevertheless, thank you for the kind words. Thank you for having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to this.
I just want to start with, what are your top line takeaways in terms of Zaire's game?
Yeah, so Zaire's a really interesting player. Kind of the way the Nets acquired him, it was right after the Mikal Bridges trade, and his first couple years in the league as a lottery pick with the Grizzlies didn't particularly go as planned, underperformed there expectation-wise, which led him to find a new home in Brooklyn and land there via a salary dump, really. So he came into Brooklyn just looking to show something. He had the draft pedigree, he had the upside, and I think 2 years into Brooklyn, it's fair to call his tenure and just overarching career with the team a success. He flashed. Like, it's easy to see why this guy was a lottery pick just from like a talent perspective and what he brings overall. He is someone who is going to defend multiple positions. He's able to hit the corner three, and 6'8", 6'9", very, very lengthy. So overall for Zaire and just kind of his tenure with Brooklyn, I think it was a success. I think it was, this offseason was the time though for both sides to part ways. I think Zaire makes a lot more sense on a team like the Lakers, just given where they are from a timeline perspective, than with Brooklyn. But at the end of the day, I think what Zaire did in Brooklyn was his overarching goal, and that was get his career back on the right track after a rough start as a lottery pick.
You mentioned Brooklyn deciding to reject his $6.3 million team option. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, why did they do that? Because he's only 24. Yeah. He'll be 25 in September. So theoretically, he fits with a younger rebuilding team as a potential rotation piece long term for them. But why did they decide to move on from him?
So there are a few things that stick out to me on that front, Jovan. First off, there was bit of an issue back in November with his effort defensively. Jordy Fernandez, Nets head coach, highlighted that. He benched him. It was a DNP for a game back then. Jordy cited his inconsistency and his effort on the defensive end of the floor as the main reason behind that. And I think this was an anomaly, at least in my eyes, when I heard this come out regarding Zaire, because on all fronts, he's a hard worker. So when I saw that, I was a little surprised. But another element I will point out is Josh Minot, someone the Nets acquired at the trade deadline for $110,000 in cash from the Boston Celtics. He broke out. He showed that, hey, maybe the Nets should give him a second look. And when you look at the Nets roster as a whole, having eight guys on rookie contracts, it would have been tough to keep both Zaire and Minot. So I think the Nets' thought process was, hey, really like what Josh Minot shown. We are going to pick up his team option, give him a second look, because Zaire had two seasons with the Nets. I thought they were productive for what he was getting paid. But at the end of the day, there wasn't a level of substantial improvement. His numbers were very, very similar 2 years ago and this past season. I think the Nets were looking for him to take another step in the right direction this season to exercise that option or then explore an extension. So at the end of the day, I think it's the fact that he didn't particularly improve from the year prior, and then just a logjam at his position. Josh Minot coming into the fold and having eight guys on the rookie contracts.
So what do you think of his fit with the Lakers?
I like it. I really do. I think he can help a team like them. I don't necessarily know if he's a starting caliber player in the league. I think what I've seen these past 2 years, I think he could spot start. I think if you're going into the year with him hoping he can start 75 games for you, I think you're going to be a little disappointed. But he, I think, makes sense because he could defend multiple positions and shoot the corner three. And contending teams need players who can do those two things. Zaire has accomplished that. He's lengthy. He's fluid. He's athletic on the defensive end of the floor. I really like the fit with Los Angeles, although I don't necessarily believe that he is a starter for this team.
Were you surprised that he signed a one-year veterans minimum contract?
No, to be honest, because I was more surprised last offseason when they got him on 2 for 12, the Nets. I thought that was a little low. So to see him get the vet minimum this year didn't particularly surprise me because I don't think he necessarily improved. And now he's going to have an opportunity to showcase his skill set on a bigger stage with better players around him. I think this is going to be a huge test for Zaire. What type of player can he be in a much better environment with the Lakers compared to the Nets, where, again, had a pretty steady role these past 2 years, but not around much. So I'm intrigued to see what his fit looks like in Los Angeles and how he settles into just the overall atmosphere there and the goal that they're trying to accomplish compared to the Nets, who were tanking the 2 years that he was there and now looking to establish a core to then progress in the rebuild.
What do you think about his ability to scale up and potentially guard some fours and fives in a switching scheme?
Look, he has the length to do it. He has the athleticism. We've seen it on full display. The Nets haven't necessarily put him in that situation. Although I will say this, Jovan, his first season, I know this for a fact, with the Nets 2 years ago, he played all five positions at least one point throughout the course of the year. That shows me, at the very least, the coaching staff had some degree of trust in him to hold his own defensively against bigger guys. We'll see what LA does and how they manage that, and if they want to give him some run against fours or fives, but I think he has the tools to do it.
And then looking at his offensive game, I feel like less is more with him, where watching him on film, when he tries to overdo it with the dribbling or getting downhill, trying to score through traffic, he can be a bit wild, where he's flinging up these running floaters and or getting blocked or whatnot. But when it's, if he's off of the ball, I actually think that's his best value offensively, whether it's camped out in the corners, as you've mentioned, camped out on the weak side, maybe relocating along the arc or cutting. I think he's a really good cutter and slasher in that regard. To me, if the Lakers offense is geared around Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves, and he's far more of a finisher than an initiator or creator, that is going to optimize his offensive value and just his overall efficiency. What do you think of him in that role, where he's not really going to be self-creating, not going to be asked to break a guy off the dribble necessarily? It's mainly going to be shoot when you're open. If you're not open, move the ball or attack a closeout or get out in transition. Like, I think simplifying things for him offensively will do his game justice.
Completely agree with you there, Jovan. And that's why I mentioned earlier on, I'm fascinated to see how his game grows in a much stronger, composed environment that the Lakers have compared to the Nets. He's not going to need to self-create as much as you mentioned. I think he's really good complements for those guys. He can hit the corner three when he's on. I'm looking at the numbers. This past year, 34.3% from beyond the arc, 34.1% the year prior. If you can get that up to 37, 38%, you're in a really good spot there for someone, a rotational piece who you're going to want to play anywhere from 12 to 18 minutes a night, depending on the matchup, of course, and the game situation. But at the end of the day, his efficiency is going to go up. I think the Lakers are a really good destination for him overall, but particularly to get that efficiency up to allow him to settle into himself and really just play freely. I think at points with the Nets, he was asked to be a guy that he wasn't. I mentioned it, playing all five positions throughout his first year with the team. He was asked to be Superman in certain situations and stick out and take charge on a roster where there really wasn't much talent around him. He's not going to have that same issue in LA. He's going to be able to settle into his own game, see what he does best, and really just attack it from there. It's been 5 years. Now he's entering year six with his third team. I'm intrigued to see how his game kind of transcends and changes, because now in his past two stops, he's been asked to take on two entirely different roles. I think the Lakers are kind of that determinator and that third team to see really what he does best and how they can utilize him in that regard.
What are some underrated or under-discussed parts of his game?
That's a good question. I think his physicality. How does LA utilize his physicality? I'd assume he's going to be playing a lot of four for LA this year. How does he fit into that role? He's going to need to be more physical. I think his finishing ability and just overall physicality to get downhill is a little underrated.
The Lakers experienced that firsthand when him and Luka got into it last year, right? So that the other teammates, they got to make up. But he kind of reminds me of Trevor Ariza. I see some Ariza in his game of like the long 6'8", 6'9" guy, but he plays stronger than his frame suggests, and there's a physicality. Like, just watching him even off ball and on some defensive possessions, he's pushing guys to try and get around screens. Like he's very handsy and physical in a way that you might not suspect. Within the context of the Lakers' projected starters, so right now it's Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Walker Kessler, and Quentin Grimes locked in as four out of the five starters. They need that final starting spot, which to me is more of a defensive wing and rebounder who could also space the floor around the Luka Walker and Austin Walker pick and rolls, a guy who could tag team with Quentin Grimes on the perimeter. I think they're looking at several guys, and Zaire will be heavily in the mix. I know for a contingent of the fan base, they are really pushing for Zaire to be that starter. So you mentioned him spot starting and not necessarily being a guy you want starting for 75 games. But if the Lakers don't trade for Jonathan Kuminga, PJ Washington, or some clear starting wing that would be ahead of him in the pecking order, what do you think of the possibility of him starting even in like a placeholder type role where it's maybe like 18, 20 minutes a night? What do you think of that fit?
Anything more than being a sheer rotational piece off the bench will be a lot for Los Angeles, just in terms of, let's start with what they paid him, the veterans minimum. So if they do, I don't think you're going to be tremendously disappointed. Like when you put Zaire Williams out on the floor for 20 minutes a night, you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get a really good defender who plays with high intensity, who's strong, who's long, who's athletic. Those are the knowns. 15, 20 games, like you're talking maybe a placeholder before the deadline. Sure, but at the same time, I think you also have to take into account, what are the Lakers' expectations this season? Where do you see them beginning to slot in? Because on a team that's trying to contend in the Western Conference and make it to the NBA Finals, I don't think Zaire Williams is a starting player on a Finals championship contending team. I think he's a fine placeholder. Like you said, he's been in a starting role the past 2 years with a Nets team that's been tanking. I think personally he fits best on a contending level team, and more so of a rotational role coming off the bench. Now, if you tell me he just happens to be one of the five guys in the starting lineup and he ends up playing 15, 18 minutes, he's the first guy to get subbed off. If it's a role like that, yes, but if you're expecting him to play 30 minutes a night, score 15, 17 points and shoot 40% from three, you're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, I think for me it's between him and Jake LaRavia. I think the thing with Zaire is going to be the shooting, to your point earlier. Like, can he bump that up to at least league average consistently, if not ideally above that? The rebounding and his ability to scale up against, can he guard the Paolo Banqueros? Can he guard the Scotty Barnes? Can he guard the Jason Tatums? Like those type of big wings, because I think that player, that spot in the lineup needs to be able to scale up and guard those types of guys. And there's going to be, he's asked to guard Chet Holmgren when they play Oklahoma City, right? Or you're putting Walker Kessler on Chet Holmgren. Now he has to battle with Isaiah Hartenstein. Like that's something that is going to be required of that position. So those are my questions with him with the starting group. And that fifth spot, it's going to be an open competition. But until and unless they get that Jonathan Kuminga, PJ Washington type, it's just you're probably starting a bench player as your fifth guy. I appreciate you making some time. I will be sure to link to Nets Daily and the Brooklyn Boys podcast in the show notes below, as well as your X account. Anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yovan, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. Shout out to everyone tuning in. And thank you, man. This was fun. Love to do it again sometime soon.
Appreciate you all watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.